here we go. We're looking at Jeremiah. Like I said, we're not going to do this for the next couple months. It could take a long time to get through this. I don't mean to do that. But then again, and I don't want to sound negative and pessimistic, and I know people that are bagging it and going backwards. Like we said, Sunday morning and Sunday night, Jeremiah talks about them going backwards. If they're not going forward, they're going backwards. And I'm aware of leavening and the whittling away of different people. And, you get kind of bummed about it. You guys are out there trying to tell somebody, Brianna and Adriana, Brian and Adriana, Brianna, there we go. And, it just amazes me how people just, I don't know, what better message that somebody would be interested in, I would think, than to the risen Savior imputes his righteousness to you, doesn't hold your sins against you, your works judge at the judgment seat, so there's not even any pain there as such, but all he asks us to do in his reasonable service is to offer our bodies a living sacrifice, which means we are willing to not do things that we want to do, and we should do things that we don't want to do. I think I said all that right, right? Hope you're all out there here, coming in here pretty quick. And Brian, it is hard not to be bummed. So, but there's a couple good verses in here tonight from Jeremiah that I think will be encouraging, not that will help us say the better thing to people, not that it's going to show better results or anything. We got to remember the ministry that Jeremiah had. If you watched Jeremiah, read Jeremiah, the guy's got no results, really, but he did what he was supposed to do, and he said what he was supposed to say, and God would take the rest from there. So, from that standpoint, Jeremiah did what he was supposed to do, and you're going to see tonight that Jeremiah did have a hard time with it. And the encouragement part, though, is the fact that, again, I see such a marvelous book here that I don't have to try to come up with some pastoral sermon that would be something to somebody somewhere to get more money to come in or to get people fired up with their biblical counseling, just marriage success, all this kind of stuff. We're trying to, everybody's preaching and trying to fix the old nature, and the old nature just stinks. And us Paul folks realize our old nature stinks, does stink, has stunk, and will continue to stink. And now we just have a choice to make, and we're going to make the wrong choices. That's who we are and how we are. We know that in the tribulation, the pressure is going to be on these people to do the right thing, because if they don't, they can lose their salvation over it. And God doesn't hold that on anybody until he gives them his Spirit of God upon their flesh. We don't have the Spirit of God upon our flesh. We have it within us. So he takes care of our soul. Christ has already taken care of us. And we're just trying to do some right things here and dress differently and try to grow up and be the person God would have us to be. I mean, it's just like, why is this such an obstacle? It just floors me, and it does bum me out too when I know some things that are happening. So I won't get into that. We'll just jump into Jeremiah here. Anyway, my encouragement tonight is this is a marvelous book. And it's a marvelous message with marvelous words. The fact that we could go back to Jeremiah and see how he dealt with it to give us some challenge and to give us some insight on what's going on, knowing that we don't have to worry about what the consequences will be that Jeremiah's preaching. You know what I mean? So, and that's why I want to be careful with Jeremiah. I don't want anybody to start telling people Jeremiah because of the fear of God and the chastisement and the killing and the all the stuff he's going to do, the wrath of God. We're not preaching that. We're not to preach that other than the tribulation. And boy, if you can't see the tribulation coming, the one world government coming, those health care law, the taxes, the money, the power, the control the government's putting on people, knowing that this whole thing is tying into the world, if folks still can't see that yet, then they really don't want to see it. And like Jeremiah said, the people want it that way. This is what people want. They want the government to control them. They want to be controlled. I suppose it's just like a kid who, you know, just wants mom and dad to do it all. And I was like that. We want the school to do it all for me. We want the college to do it all for me. And the boss to do it all for me. And we had the freedoms to do things ourselves, and we didn't want to. We let somebody else take away our freedoms and our control. And I guess if people don't want to recognize that, then what are we going to tell them about a Bible? We'll get into that in a couple of minutes. This has got some good whines in there. Jeremiah's got some good whine material. So here we go. Chapter 10. We're going to try to get chapter 10 and chapter 11 done tonight. I see we lost our visitor already. That didn't take long. Another one that didn't make it by the music. Have you noticed, I don't encourage you to do this, but have you ever taken a skim through the Pal Talk Christian groups, and just about every one of them, in fact, every one of them, has a bunch of garbage music going on. Music's the pull. Music's the power that's going on in these churches and even in these websites and stuff. And movies, music, and morons, I guess the three M's, M&M. Maybe that'd be a good sermon, M&M, music and movies. You're tired of hearing about movies. People are. They're going to watch them anyway. Okay, here we go. Jeremiah chapter 10. Here we go. Hear ye the word which the Lord speaketh unto you, O house of Israel. There it is again. This is not written to us. This is written to Israel. So we don't need to worry about this fear of God that Jeremiah is preaching, other than the tribulation. But we'll be taken out during that thing. So that's good. What do you do if you don't go to church? What do you do if you don't tithe? What do you do if you don't worship like everybody else is worshiping? What if you don't want to partake in the Lord's Supper? It's like, why? What if you don't want to be baptized? What about this Great Commission? You need to follow the Great Commission based on the teachings of Jesus and the Gospels, when they're supposed to be followed by signs and healings and playing with snakes, drinking poison, the whole spiel. Man, where are people's brains in these churches? So anyway, there it is. Hear ye the word of the Lord, which speaketh unto you, O house of Israel. Not to the Gentiles. Thus saith the Lord, learn not the way of the heathen, and be not dismayed at the signs of heaven. By the way, the heathen is the Gentiles in the Old Testament. For the heathen are dismayed at them. What's that? The signs of heaven. And for the customs of the people are vain. In other words, just a waste of time. For one cutteth the tree out of the forest, the work of the hands of the workman, with the axe. They deck it with silver and with gold. They fasten it with nails and with hammers, that it move not. Now, there it is. The Christmas tree verse that nobody wants to believe, because whoever nails their tree down with a hammer. So there's the one little plug they can use to get out of that thing. And yet, if you don't want your tree to tip over, you nail it to something. Some people wire, you know, it's just like justifying. No. Where else? They cut a tree out of the forest. They deck it with silver and gold. Come on. Learn not the way of the heathen. That's just what he says. That's the heathen way of doing things. Okay, so whatever. Now, if you know, what about Revelation chapter 11? They give gifts to everybody because they're so cheerful that they have killed the two witnesses. So they give gifts to everybody. Well, there's a Christmas scene. You know, I mean, come on. You know, so really, Christmas is not neutral. It's not just something that we do. There's a testimony in Christmas that ought not be. And look at this next verse, for example. We always look at verse 2 and 3 and 4 about this Christmas tree, but look at verse 5. They are upright as the palm tree, back to that tree again, but speak not. They must needs be born, because they cannot go. Be not afraid of them, for they cannot do evil, neither also is it in them to do good. So this whole Christmas tree thing is just a farce. It's just, it doesn't do anything good for you. Doesn't do anything bad, it doesn't hurt you, it doesn't kill your relationship with God as such. You know, the tree itself is a tree. It's a tree stuck in your living room that's going to burn if you don't keep it watered, and you put pictures and you put candles and you put bulbs and you light it up, and before you know it, it's part of a worship scene. I've been there, done that. You know, Christmas is vain. According to what he says here, it doesn't hurt, it doesn't do any good. Well, it's fun for people. But the rewards of the whole Christmas concept, the testimony of Christmas, is going to burn. There's nothing true in Christmas. So anything that you've done, you know, hand out tracts. You got more courage to hand out tracts in Christmas time because, well, that's when Jesus was born, so you can hand out tracts. So what's the matter with the rest of the year? Although I'm not so big on tracts anymore because most of our tracts are garbage. So don't even get me going on chick. Church is a great time. One out of the two times of the year, some people go to church. Church is a family time. But how many times you talk about the birth of Christ, let alone the resurrection of Christ, let alone Paul, let alone the risen Savior, what he's done for us, we just have family time. So it's a time to get extra special clothes. You dress nicer for that Sunday than you do all the other Sundays. Why? You think it pleases God more on Christmas that you dress for his birthday? I hate the phrase, happy birthday, Jesus. You know, that whole thing. It's just, we never told that. And then we're going to sing songs that are obviously not true. There's so many lies in Christmas songs. You know, and Santa Claus is safe. Is it okay to teach Santa when he's got every characteristic of the Antichrist to the max? Superman, the whole spiel? We support a lie in our testimony and in our manner of life to kids and people that watch us. Is that neutral? No, that's actually not neutral. That's a bad thing. Christmas rolls around. It's a tough time. It's not true. It's not right. Shouldn't be doing it. And yet Jeremiah says, what are you doing putting that tree in your house back in those days? What are you doing? It's a tree. Yeah, but how we do Christmas is a tough deal. Romans 14 talks about if you cannot do Christmas and give God the glory, fine. If you can do Christmas and give God the glory, fine. Okay, I got to ask you, how can you do Christmas and give God the glory when every ounce of Christmas is a lie? It's tough. It's one of those things. We got God's grace. I guess you can do your Christmas to everybody, because how do you not? And then just realize it's all going to burn in the judgment seat. So don't think God is all thrilled with your clothes and you're finally going to church once in a while. You maybe handed out three or four tracts. You know, whatever. Verse 6. So much for my Christmas wine. For as much as there is none like unto thee, O Lord, thou art great. There's our song, How Great Thou Art. And thy name is great in might. Who would not fear thee, O King of nations? For to thee doth it appertain, for as much as among all the wise men of the nations and in all their kingdoms, there is none like unto thee. Well, that's what Jeremiah says. What do we say today? That King James Bible. There's no other book like that Bible. There's nothing else in this world like that King James Bible. There's none like unto that. That's just how I look at that thing. Psalm 138:2, for thou hast magnified above all thy name, that which is perfect has come. So, is there anything better than that book? No. Is there anything better than God? No. Verse 8. They are altogether brutish and foolish. The stock is a doctrine of vanity. Now, here is a good example of how Jeremiah says things about what's going on in those days as compared to what's the same thing going on today. Okay? Altogether brutish and foolish. The stock is a doctrine of vanities. Silver spread into plates is brought from Tarshish and gold from Uphaz. The work of the workman and of the hands of the founder, the metal founder stuff, statue maker. Blue and purple is their clothing. They are all the work of cunning men. So let's look up brutish. Here we go. Brutish. Now this means a lot more to me than most of you realize, but this definition of a brutish man, listen to this. Insensible. Stupid. Insensible is more proper, I suppose, but insensible. It doesn't make sense. It's just you can't even figure them out. Unfeeling, savage, ferocious, brutal, gross, carnal, bestial, like having the qualities of a beast, of an animal. Below the dignity of reason or humanity, carnal, ignorant, uncivilized, and untaught. I know some men like that. I do. And they say they're Christians. And yet, just like it says, altogether brutish and foolish. What they stand for is a doctrine of vanity. There's money involved in all this stuff, but it's the work of cunning men. He's a cunning man. He's sneaky. He's going to manipulate stuff. You look at that verses 8 and 9, and you see religion there. It's the work of cunning people, cunning men. Ephesians 4:14. What does that say? Let's look it up. Ephesians 4:14. That we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro, carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive. I know men in churches. That is exactly how they live their life. And the family can't even stand it. It amazes me. You know, we look at 2 Peter chapter 1. Second Peter, if we go there, well, we go to these tribulation books because we see this stuff coming about more and more. Second Peter chapter 1, verse 16. For we have not followed cunningly devised fables, when you made known unto you the power and coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. See, so we're living in a time where cunningly devised fables are being devised by cunning men. And it's an interesting thing, but if you go through and study the word cunning, you see that there are educators, there's teachers who are cunning. You, you see that there are musicians that are cunning. Cunning isn't all bad, necessarily. David was a cunning musician. He knew how to use his music to be a blessing, if you want to use that word. He knew how to use his music in the Old Testament days to drive away the spirit, the evil spirit, to heal a guy physically, and to heal a guy mentally. It's a cunning musician. But see, now today, the cunning musicians that we have, they're deceiving people, they're teaching false doctrines, they're letting music be the power, and they're cunning. And they know how to manipulate their music to get the money, to get their souls, to get these people deceived into thinking they're Christians. It's amazing. Now, here's one more cunning that I know you're not going to understand, some of you, but some of you will. I was excited to see this. And it talks about cunning women. I just knew that it had to be in there somewhere, that in these days, in the last days, in the tribulation stuff, and we're getting more and more about it, we got women that are so cunning and deceiving, and they're manipulating the churches, they're manipulating everything, they're manipulating relationships, they're manipulating fellowships, they're manipulating potlucks, they're manipulating the entire everything. They're manipulating pastors, they're manipulating husbands, they're cunning. And he talks about cunning women. So, I was happy to see that. It isn't just me. That King James Bible exposes a cunning woman, a cunning musician, a cunning educator that are blinding our children with flattery and false teaching. Oh, just drives me nuts. Okay, verse 10. We'll jump down to verse 10. But the Lord is the true God. He is the living God and an everlasting King. As his wrath, the earth shall, at his wrath, the earth shall tremble, and the nations shall not be able to abide his indignation. Thus shall ye say unto them, the gods that have not made the heavens and the earth, and even they shall perish from the earth and from under these heavens. He hath made the earth by his power. He hath established the world by his wisdom. He hath stretched out the heavens by his discretion. When he uttereth his voice, there is a multitude of waters in the heavens, and he causeth the vapors to ascend from the ends of the earth. He maketh lightnings with rain and bringeth forth the wind out of his treasures. That's a marvelous God. What a God. But now remember, we've got that voice. What a book. And he's talking here about creation. He kind of comments about he made the earth by his power. Look at Ephesians chapter 3, verse 9. And if anybody out there is listening to this someday, and you have an NIV Bible, you need to look up Ephesians chapter 3, verse 9. If you're a creationist and you believe that God created all, you know, as it says, and you believe in Jesus Christ as your Savior, do you realize that in the King James Bible it says in Ephesians 3:9, and to make all men see what is the fellowship of the mystery, which from the beginning of the world hath been hid in God. That's a Paul thing. But it says right here, just a little bunny trail, which world hath been hid in God, who created all things by Jesus Christ. How do you, and an NIV Bible takes out Jesus Christ out of their Bible. So when a King James Bible for 400 some years says that Jesus Christ was the creator, God, Jesus Christ, Holy Spirit, all in one type of thing, and yet it says, who created all things by Jesus Christ, and your NIV Bible, modern Bibles, take Jesus Christ away from that creation. So you're a creationist who uses a Bible that takes Jesus Christ away from creation when a King James Bible for 400 years has said Jesus Christ was creation, was the creator. And Jeremiah says he hath made the earth by his power. Well, Jesus Christ. Oh, it's this marvelous stuff. NIV Bible takes so much away. Let's go down to verse 14. It says here, every man is brutish. I'm loud again, aren't I? Okay. Every man is brutish in his knowledge. Every founder, there's your makers again, the statue makers and everything, is confounded by the graven image. For his molten image is falsehood, and there is no breath in them. They are vanity. And the work of errors, I like that phrase, the work of errors. In the time of the visitation they shall perish. Now, you go back to that every founder is confounded by the graven image. And I'm just thinking as I read this thing. It says there's no breath in these things that they're making, these idols and statues and things. We know today that we don't have Catholics still have statues. We have icons now. We've got pictures that we follow and worship, getting all ready for the worship of the beast, the image of the beast. But it says, every founder is confounded by the graven image. He's confounded. He's working on something that actually confounds him. Do you see the point there? What do we do in our day-to-day life that we are messing with, that we're toiling around, that we're working on, that we're doing, that is wrong, and is causing us to have some confounding? We get mixed up because we're out there in this world of this modern Christianity. If you don't stay in that King James Bible, I think you'll eventually slip over into that side. How do we become a world loving this present world like Demas? When Demas was hanging around Paul. Must have been Demas wasn't always hanging around Paul for him to fall in love with this world. What are we doing that we are constantly around more than we're in our Bible, and in due time, we're being confounded. We're being confused. We're being changed. We're being turned over some false fables. Not that there's anything as a true fable. See my point? We don't realize how we are subtly being changed. Again, I'll ask a question I've been asking every Sunday for the last couple of weeks. What do we do now that we wouldn't have done a year ago? 2 years ago? How far have we gone backwards? Or are we going forward? If we're going forward, it's because you're in your book. If you're going backwards, you're not in your book. You're trying to stand on what you believe, and you're trying to stand on what's right, but you're not in your book. And these founders were confounded by the images they were working on. Just winging my thoughts here. Women going off to work. You probably don't like it at first. But give them a year or two or a couple months, they love it. So why do we send our young girls, our family girls, off to a job? When the Bible clearly says they're to be taught to stay home. Once they go out into that workplace, they'll be confounded. I promise you, the power that's in that workplace, the men that are in those stores, the boss that you have to be a boss for, the things that you have to sell, and the people you have to mess with in the public, your daughter, your girls, your wife will be confounded and eventually won't want out of that job. They'll like that job. They'll like the money. They'll like the prestige. They'll like the flirting that will go on. And then they'll like the fellowship with all the other people. They'll like that. And they're done. That's what's happening to people. What is happening on Facebook for all these busy-bodied women? They're being confounded by this junk they're messing with, and now they're showing movies and they're bragging about their movies. I know. It hits me close to home. I'm not preaching about anybody but my own as well. What's going on? We're being confounded. We are being seduced. We are being attacked. And Jeremiah tells us that. Anyway. Let's jump down to verse 19. There's that brutish word, by the way. Brutish in knowledge. In verse 14. Every man is brutish in his knowledge. Insensible. Stupid. Unfeeling. Savage. Ferocious. Brutal. Bestial. Gross. Carnal. Ignorant. Uncivilized. Untaught. Brutish. That's what our men are turning into today. Christian guys, Paul guys. I'm going to give you some names? Not yet. Verse 19. Here's a verse that really means a lot to me, and I think it will for you too. And I don't know what to do about it other than look at Jeremiah. He says in verse 19, woe is me for my hurt. My wound is grievous. But I said, truly this is a grief, and I must bear it, he says. Then he goes and describes it. This is what Jeremiah is having to deal with. And it's grieving him. It hurts him. And he says, I've got to bear it. Here's what he says. My tabernacle is spoiled. All my cords are broken. My children are gone forth of me. And they are not. In other words, they're not his kids anymore. They've kind of rejected him. There is none to stretch forth my tent anymore. No help to set up my curtains. For the pastors have become brutish. The pastors are become brutish. What's brutish? Insensible, stupid, unfeeling, savage, ferocious, brutal, gross, carnal, bestial, ignorant, uncivilized, and untaught. So he says the pastors are in those days. And have not sought the Lord. These pastors in his day did not seek the Lord. Therefore they shall not prosper, and all their flocks shall be scattered. And that's what Jeremiah is seeing, and he's grieved by this stuff. It hurts him to see this. But he has to bear it. That's what he says. Now, what do we do? Look at our churches today. Look what's going on in our churches. Look at the music that's going on. Look at how the people are trashing Paul. Look what's going on around here. Look at the Paul's ways are not being taught in any church, not just every church, but in any church. Look at the preachers. Look at the pastors. Biblical counseling. King James, sorta, kinda. Baptist teachings. Methodist teachings. Religion. Lady pastors. What's going on here? You know, if you got people you care about that are going to these churches, they're being lied to. They're not being fed a good meal. Does that bother? That bothers me. I mean, it hurts. But what do I have to do? What does he say? I must bear it. Really? Look at the relationships people are having. Look at the Christian relationships. Everybody's having a great time with each other. They'll talk about each other when there's not nobody's around, but you come along with your Paul stuff, your modesty stuff, and your quiet stuff, and you don't have a relationship. They don't want to be your friend. If they do, it's a fake one, and you know that. People at work, your family, your moms and dads and sisters and brothers, uncles, relatives, neighbors. Where are the relationships there? If you want to have a relationship, if you've got to give in to the world, love the world like they do, play the games that they do, watch the movies that they do, dress like they do, talk like they do, if you want to have any kind of relationship there, we're on our own. And it's getting harder. It's getting more lonely. Look at our families. This part up here where Jeremiah says, my children are gone forth of me. And they're not. How many of you have lost your children over Paul's King James Bible rightly dividing? It grieves you. What do you have to do? Bear it. You have anybody you really care about out in this world somewhere trying to do right? And somebody trips them up? The frustrations they're having, does it bother you? You bet it does. It hurts. It's grievous to you. What does Jeremiah say? Bear it. What does Paul say? He says to bear the infirmities of the weak. Okay, I can put up with the weak, but I don't like the rebellious. There's a difference. And at the end of that thing it says, therefore they shall not prosper. Well, excuse me, but everybody seems to be prospering that's turning against Paul. Their churches are growing. They're having more fun at church. They're having more fellowships. Their potlucks are a great time. The music is much more fun now. We can go to the fair again. We can dress like again like this again. We can go to truck shows. We can go to movies now again. I mean, hey, we're having a great time. They're prosperous. Gain is godliness. Remember that? Paul says that. Timothy, gain is godliness to these people today. These are the people that will not endure sound doctrine. What's being filled in the churches? I personally believe that the churches are being, the Christians are leaving and it's being filled up with people that think they're Christians and they're not. So the devil's putting lost people in our churches, so when he comes back, they'll jump right on his bandwagon. Have you noticed in the news lately, this Netanyahu guy, I love the guy's name, Netanyahu, that's the Israeli guy, I think that's a pretty good name. Netanyahu, he was talking to people and they had these great big huge screens behind him. It seems like anywhere these people go, they have to have this great big screen so they can see his face up closer. Why? What's the point of that? So if I want to do this, do I need to? Looks like my cam is frozen. Oh, there we go. I just want to make sure we're all still there. Who would I see yet? I don't know. There's a news guy that was. There's this big screen behind us, so people in what the 90th row can still see them. Do we not know what's going on to these big screens? And everywhere these big speakers are speaking, what's going on? Who knows what's going on? How are they going to worship the image of the beast if they have no image? They got to have these image machines all over the place. PowerPoint presentations, the screen. So if I get on here and you... My webcam is just going really slow here. Are you hearing everything out there? On the cam, y'all hearing everything? You can have an amen if you're hearing everything. Choppy, yeah. Oh, gosh, here we go. Ah, so irritating. Keep going? Should we reboot or keep going? Keep going, I guess. Keep going. Okay, here we go. So anyway, there's all that image stuff, and we're grieved over this stuff. When you hear somebody that you care and love trip up, or somebody's constantly after them, from Jeremiah's example, we need to bear it. But like I said, we can bear the infirmities of the weak, but not the rebellious. And it's even hard to bear the infirmities of the weak if the weak are being kept weak by those people. It's just a whole other ball game. Verse 23. I'll go back to verse 22. Behold, the noise of the bruit is come, and a great commotion out of the north country to make the cities of Judah desolate and a den of dragons. Watch the word of dragons is popping up in the movies more and more for children today. And it isn't any Pete's dragon. It's a lot worse than Pete, although Pete had to start it, didn't he? So we see the tribulation coming. But it isn't because of the signs of the times. It's because we know Hebrews to Jude, and we're seeing those things take place more and more. So we're basing our observations and conclusions on scriptures, not somebody's books about what's going on today. Verse 23, got to get going here. We got plenty of time. Verse 23, O Lord, I know that the way of man is not in himself. It is not in man that walketh to direct his steps. Well, do we not know that? It's just not in us to do right. And these Baptists and these modern Christians who think that they're suddenly walking clean because now they have Jesus in their heart, they're crazy. Jeremiah said that the way of man is not in himself. It is not in man that walketh to direct his steps. We need to turn to the way of the risen Savior. Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. That's true. But we don't turn to his teachings to the Jews. We turn to his teachings to the Gentiles as a risen Savior. Why is that so hard? Why is that so complicated? Yeah, you get into the tribulation, God knows they're not going to be able to walk right when they have to. He gives them the Spirit of God upon their flesh. Acts chapter 2. It's amazing. So here we are living in this day and age. Why do we think that we can walk perfectly when they have to have the Spirit of God upon their flesh in the tribulation? Well, Paul does tell us to walk a holy walk, and he gives us that grace to cover us when we trip, but we're still commanded to do right. But we've got grace. Tribulation, they're commanded to do right. They've got grace, but if you're reading 1 John, they don't get the grace until the end. That's something to look up. Okay. Here we go, verse 24. O Lord, correct me, but with judgment, not in thine anger, lest thou bring me to nothing. Well, don't we need to worry about this verse? God's going to correct us, but not with judgment, not with anger. He gave us a Bible. For doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. There's where God tells us these things. He's not dealing with us with anger at all. He's not going to make God mad. Christ took God's wrath. It's not that we're getting away with it. The penalty's the payment's been made. That's all. We're not any better. We're just clean on the inside. And this part where he says, "Not in thine anger, lest thou bring me to nothing." Look at what we've been brought to. Because we don't have Christ or God's wrath. Because we don't have His chastisement. Because we don't have His anger. See, his anger would bring us to nothing. So not having his anger would bring us to something. So we think we're marvelous. We think he's doing all this for us. We become very conceited Christians. Because he doesn't put his anger on us. He doesn't put his chastisement. Romans chapter 2, 4 and 5. These works have been set aside. They're being stored. Ours will be at the judgment seat. Theirs will be at the white throne. And then his anger will reveal himself. But not to us. We've had that taken care of. Matter of fact, Philippians chapter 1, verse 9 and 10, what are we supposed to grow in? Judgment. We make our own decisions based on that book. God's going to not make them for us. God's not going to make them for us. This isn't what you're going to hear in a Baptist church. This isn't what people are going to hear tonight in different churches in this country. Or have heard, or will hear out in the West. This isn't what they're going to hear. They're just going to be told some Baptist stuff. They're going to be told some fear of God stuff. Get together, get it, make it right, and all, you know what, we know this is going. Verse 25, pour out thy fury upon the heathen that know thee not. See, the heathen are the Gentiles. You know what God did? He poured out his grace. Is it no wonder that the Jews hated Paul? Here they wanted to pour out thy fury upon the heathen that know thee not, and upon the families that call not on thy name, for they have eaten up Jacob and devoured him and consumed him and have made his habitation desolate. What does he do? He pours his grace out on us. He puts his son through the crucifixion, his only begotten son. He gives us his grace, not his wrath, not his fury. It's coming, though. It's coming, tribulation. We know the terror of the Lord, we persuade men. It's coming. Not for us, though. Chapter 11. Let's go down to chapter 11, or over to chapter 11, or up to chapter 11. Take your pick.
How are we doing time-wise? Okay, there's a lot in here. Just in one general thing. Let's just read verses 3 through 11, if that's okay. Look at what he's being told here. And say unto them, Jeremiah is supposed to say this to the people, thus saith the Lord God of Israel. So that's where we say the scriptures say, that's what we're saying, thus saith the Lord God of us Gentiles, Church of God. Anyway. Cursed be the man that obeyeth not the words of this covenant, which I commanded your fathers in the day that I brought them forth out of the land of Egypt from the iron furnace, saying, obey my voice, and do them according to all which I command you, so shall you be my people.
I'm going to have to say excuse me, because when my stomach gurgles and burps, it does come across on the website, people out there in the video. So
you don't hear it out there in Pal Talk, but it does come across on the video. So anyway, but I may perform the oath which I have sworn upon your fathers, to give them a land flowing with milk and honey, as it is to this day. Then answered I and said, so be it, Lord. A lot of people think that's America, but that's baloney. Then the Lord said unto me, proclaim all these words in the cities of Judah and in the streets of Jerusalem, saying, hear ye the words of this covenant and do them. There's a lot of covenant Christians out there, covenant Baptists, covenant Paul people. Got this covenant they're trying to follow. That you've got a lot of Bible, a lot of people have them in the back of their hymn books. You join their Baptist or Methodist church or whatever, you've got to sign their covenant that you're going to do those things. Oh, right, like that's going to change. It's like putting a sign in front of your store, no guns allowed. Well, that'll keep the criminals out of your store. You know, it's like at our school, you put a sign in the hallway, bully-free zone. That's not true at all. How stupid we become. Verse 7, for I earnestly protested unto your fathers in the day that I brought them up out of the land of Egypt, even unto this day, rising early and protesting, saying, obey my voice.
So Jeremiah is telling these people to obey God's voice. Well, what are we telling people to do? Obey God's voice. But it's the risen Savior in the King James Bible following Paul, rightly divided. Yeah, you hear that 1,000 times.
Yet they obeyed not, nor inclined their ear. That's what's happening. I'll give you a list after name after name after name after name of people that are not inclining their ear to hear preaching from Paul anymore. King James Bible. But walk everyone in the imagination of their evil heart. In other words, it's okay to them. So their imagination tells them, well, God likes this. He doesn't chastise me. Because we know God chastises. Paul seems weird on that teaching.
No, you can't show me scripture that says he's chastising other than through the book for correction, for reproof.
I will bring upon them all the words of this covenant, which I commanded them to do, but they did them not.
You know, Christ is going to do for our judgment seat, Romans 2:16. He's going to bring the words of Paul's writings to our judgment seat, and that's what our works are going to be judged by. He says here, I'm going to bring the covenant to you. I'm going to put it up in front of you. You can see how you did. We'll be judged by this King James Bible, rightly divided. We won't be judged by Jude or Peter or James, any of those teachings. There's not stuff in Hebrews we need to worry about for teachings. We can learn from them, but we're not going to be held accountable. And the Lord said unto me, a conspiracy is found among the men of Judah, among the inhabitants of Jerusalem. They are turned back to the iniquities of their forefathers, which refused to hear my words, and they went after other gods to serve them. The house of Israel and the house of Judah have broken my covenant, which I made with their fathers. You know what people are doing today? What Church of God people are doing today? If they're saved, they're breaking their covenant as such with this King James Bible. Suddenly, it's no longer the final authority. Because if somebody preaches at them, I don't want to hear it. Don't tell me anymore, Dad. Grant, don't go down there, neighbor. Don't want to hear it. That's where it's headed. Verse 11, therefore thus saith the Lord, behold, I will bring evil upon them, which they shall not be able to escape, and though they shall cry unto me, I will not hearken unto them. Isn't that amazing? Now, let's go to Proverbs 1. Christ, God said, I'm not going to hear them. I will not hearken unto them. This tribulation stuff, let's go to Proverbs chapter 1. Let me show you something. If you haven't already heard it from me, preach it a million times. Proverbs chapter 1, verse 24. Because I have called and ye refused, I have stretched out my hand and no man regarded, this is God speaking, but ye have set at naught all my counsel and with none of my reproof, I also will laugh at your calamity, tribulation. I will mock when your fear cometh.
When your fear cometh as desolation, and your destruction cometh as a whirlwind, when distress and anguish cometh upon you, then shall they call upon me. But look at this. But I will not answer. They shall seek me early, but they shall not find me. For that they hated knowledge and did not choose the fear of the Lord, they would none of my counsel, they despised all my reproof. Therefore shall they eat of the fruit of their own way, and be filled with their own devices. For the turning away of the simple shall slay them, and the prosperity of fools shall destroy them. And God's going to let it happen. Why do we think that God is not willing to stand by and let things happen to us today? God's not making them happy. He's allowing it, and it's happening more and more. More and more people are rejecting the King James Bible that used to believe it. More and more people are letting movies be their brain filler. Their you know, when you say you come home and you're tired, you want to do something brainless. That's exactly when the worst stuff goes into your brain, is when your brain is tired and you're not fighting it. That's the least time in the world you should watch a movie, whatever it is, Christian, whatever they are, when you think that you want to go to bed with brain downtime. That's when that stuff gets in, and you're too tired to even think about it. It's amazing what we've done nowadays. So, here it is in chapter 11, where we say that God won't even hear him. They won't even hear him. I gave you a chance. I was there. You ever get that way? Listen, kids, or husband, or wife, I tried to be there for you. I tried to help you. I've got so many people I've tried to help as a pastor and as a person. And they all ended up going their own way anyway. Imagination of their evil heart, they went their own way anyway. Went back to the guys, went back to whatever, they're just going back. And God says, hey, you want to go back there? You can live it your way. Does he say that to us? He says that to us, except he gives us the Bible to help us guide our path. If we don't want to do what the Bible says for us to do, based on Paul, God is not going to intervene, and he's not going to fix it. He's not a magic God. He gave us a marvelous holy book. Anyway, yeah. Well, we're still there for people. I'm trying. Like Paul says, like Jeremiah says, you have to bear the hurt that comes with it. I'm never good at that. I'm not a good hurt bearer. It gets me down too hard. Here we finish this up. How are we doing? Okay, we're doing all right. Verse 19. But I was like a lamb or an ox that is brought to the slaughter, and knew not that they had devised devices against me, saying. Jeremiah didn't know this. He was afraid of them. God told him in chapter 1, don't be dismayed at their faces. But don't be stupid either, Jeremiah. Don't you realize these people are out to get you? Do we need to be stupid? Go down my list. Peter, Patience, Duckout. Oh, Duckout's back. Mark, Brian, God's Book, Sam, Brother Bill, Floyd's. Are we so stupid to think that these people don't want us to get off of this Paul stuff? Don't you think there's somebody out there that wants us to be a Jehovah Witness? Do you think there's somebody out there that wants us to be the Baptist? They will do whatever they can to trip us up to get back. And Jeremiah didn't know this. Isn't that amazing? I was like a lamb or an ox that is brought to the slaughter, and knew not that they had devised devices against me, saying, let us destroy the tree with the fruit thereof, and let us cut him off from the land of the living, that his name may be no more remembered. Oh, that's tough Jeremiah stuff. No, that's going on today. You have an idea how many people don't want to have anything to do with what I preached in the last 5, 6, 7 years? They don't want to hear it ever again. How about you? If you witness to somebody, they don't want to hear it again. And if you've been strong about it, they want you out of the scene. They says here, and let us cut him off from the land of the living, that his name may be no more remembered. They'd want to kill him. You've got people, listen, don't be so blind. You've got people that want you dead, if not physically, spiritually. They can't handle what your testimony is. They want to knock yours down. Oh, for us to be the adult and the Christian and the soldier to stand up to that stuff, no matter what you're going to lose. It's easier for me to say, no, I've lost a lot. Not as much as some of you. More than some of you. It's tough. Look at verse 21. Therefore, thus saith the Lord of the men of Anathoth that seek thy life, saying, prophesy not in the name of the Lord, that thou die not by our hand.
They didn't want Jeremiah to prophesy in the name of the Lord. They don't want us to talk about this Bible. They don't want us to talk about Paul and rightly dividing. And they don't want to hear from him again. Don't talk to me about Paul. Don't talk to my kids. Don't talk to anybody in my family about Paul rightly divided. Don't talk about that stuff anymore. Don't tell me that Titus says what it says. I don't want to hear it. I want to wear what I want to wear. I want to dress the way I want to dress. I want to go where I want to go. I want to live out in this world. Oh, you're a Demas follower now. Don't talk to me like that. I don't want to hear about that stuff. Don't give me this King James Bible only stuff. So what do we do? What do we do? Well, usually we listen to them and don't say anything anymore. And maybe there's wisdom. Different times, you know, maybe there's wisdom to that. Are we just seeking favor with all the people so we can have more people come to our church? Are we seeking favor with our family so maybe we can be there, you know, make it work better? Remember Nehemiah? What's going on in your church that you're still, some of you are still members of? You still trying to have favor with everybody in that church? Well, I know some of you have no choice. It's not your decision. Just be ready for, just be prepared for the stuff that's going to go in. Remember Nehemiah? They're going to mock you. They're going to conspire to stop you. They're going to sneak in amongst the rubbish in your life, and we all have it. They're going to make a fuss over finances. They're going to try to get you to compromise. They're going to slander you if that doesn't work. And if nothing else, they're going to cause you to do wrong because they can make you do wrong. See, that stuff just irritates me because I can give you some names of people that have done that to people I know and done it to me. It's there. If I could just yak about this stuff. Mocking. You ever been mocked? Sure you have. You know they're trying to stop you. They're not just living with you. They're not just accept. They want you to stop. I'm kind of probably belaboring this point. Jeremiah said in verse 19 that they wanted his name to be no more remembered. Are you tired of being called the enemy? Is it hard for you to be loved less because you love more? You ever try to help somebody and love them and get in trouble with it? Loved less for it? Yeah, maybe you messed up. I probably have. I'm surprised. I'm sure I have. But it's hard to be loved less when you actually care for these people. Jeremiah says, you have to bear it. I wrote a sermon today during one of my breaks at school. Why do I expect just about everybody to go backwards eventually? I wrote down a couple of thoughts. Then I started getting more thoughts. And I know God didn't give them to me. I just started thinking about the things I've preached and I've seen over the years and remembering the scriptures. I may do that. Wouldn't it be kind of a hard sermon? It's a sad sermon. Is this why you're so Eeyore-ish? You think everybody's going to crumble? I think just about every one of us is going to backslide and go backwards eventually. I'm hoping not. There's always been a remnant. There's going to be a remnant of the King James Bible crowd. There's going to be a remnant of the King James Paul following rightly divided crowd. But boy, that's going to be a small remnant. That's the crowd that gets raptured because they got the real Jesus through Paul. Can you not let this happen to you? I mean, Jeremiah's chapters 10 and chapter 11 basically say that he's grieved over the fact that people are rejecting the voice of God, the King James Bible, the rightly divided following Paul stuff. I know, that's all I seem to talk about anymore. But it just amazes me. Out here in these parts, there is no Bible talk at all. Zero. There's a little 4-inch block in our paper. Yes, we have a paper here. And it's a Berean thing. It's about Paul. It's not bad. But if they jump into the Berean thing, it's still wrong. Does everybody have to go my way? No. They have to go the way of a rightly divided King James Bible. And God will show them some stuff. Oh, well. Yeah, we get tired of it. We get tired of it. And they're seeking our life. Look at Jeremiah chapter 20. In case you don't know this, I'll do this in case you don't know this thing. But in Jeremiah chapter 20, verse 9, Jeremiah gets so disturbed over this stuff, he wants to quit. He wants to quit. You know how many people have quit? They're not Jeremiah's. They're Demas's. Is Jeremiah our example? To some extent, but Paul is the one we're supposed to follow, not Jeremiah. Jeremiah's message is good about what they're doing wrong, but it wasn't right what to do right. We have a lot of people today, they know what's wrong in this country, but they don't preach what's right. There's a lot of pastors that preach what's wrong, but they don't know what's right.
Some of you are going to hear something tonight or heard something already, or they're going to hear it when you go to your, when you listen to it somewhere else another time. Some of you folks, you're going to hear some things that's wrong. You're going to hear music that's wrong. You're going to see a delivery that's wrong. You're going to see people that are buying into this thing. And you, they want to destroy you. Jeremiah chapter 9, and after a while you want to quit, don't you? I'm sorry, Jeremiah chapter 20, verse 9. Then I said, I will not make mention of him, nor speak any more in his name. He's done. Jeremiah is done. But he says, but his word was in mine heart as a burning fire shut up in my bones, and I was weary with forbearing, and I could not stay. He couldn't quit. Why are these people that have gone back away from Paul and away from the King James Rightly Divided Bible, in their walk and in their modesty and the whole thing, why have they gone back? His word is not burning in their heart. You're not reading your Bible. If we're so busy that we can't get in that book and get some preaching, some strength, renew our mind every morning kind of a thing, every day, then you're going to crumble. Satan is that busy right now. And the world is that busy. They're trying to conspire us. They're trying to knock us down. They're trying to kill us. Trying to get us out of the picture. And then verse 10, Jeremiah hears the defaming of many. Fear on every side, report, say they, and we will report it. All my familiars watching for my halting, saying, peradventure he will be enticed, and we shall prevail against him, and we shall take our revenge on him. Now he says, but the Lord is mighty with me, is with me as a mighty, terrible one. That's true. We have the Lord if we're into our Bibles. We still can have the Lord, but if we're not reading that Bible, we're not going to hear from him. We're not going to have that strength. And I wish I could just, I just wish these words that come across and we would stand strong with what's left to stand with. What do you have left that you haven't compromised on? What do you have left that somebody hasn't mocked you to stop doing it? What have you left that somebody, what does he say there? He says, enticed. What has somebody done to entice you back to the way of the world when you know you didn't want to do that? Evil communications. Are we all guilty? We're all guilty. He says in verse 11, they shall not prevail. My persecutors shall stumble. They shall be greatly ashamed. They shall not prosper. Their everlasting confusion shall never be forgotten. That's right. But it hasn't happened yet, has it? They seem to be prospering and doing quite well. And we're not. That's hard. That's very difficult for us.